welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Pixelated Sausage Show. Hi, how are y'all doing? I'm, of course, your host, Mark Kuznez. I am in need of a haircut because it's getting a bit out of control. And it's been 5 weeks, I think. And to keep my hair in check, I feel like 4 to 6 weeks is something I need to do. I also need to tell them when they're cutting this side, every time they do it, they leave a little extra here. And I don't know if it's because they think, and maybe I part my hair in a way that makes it seem like the part is more here than it is here, which I know is very descriptive for audio listeners, the majority of y'all. Well, maybe this is the time to watch the YouTube. But I'm looking at the camera every now and again. I'm like, yeah, I should do that more often again. I should do that every now and again. But they leave a little hair where it, if I were to part it in the natural way, there'd be parts sticking out further than the rest. It seems like it's always a little off. And maybe that's because I'm supposed to style it in a certain way, and I don't know how to style hair in a specific way, or I'm supposed to do this, that. So, I don't know shit about hair. I just know I don't like the way I look, particularly with it buzzed, so I don't want to go that drastic, because if I do that, of course, it's going to be even all around. I don't have to worry about any hair seeming longer than the other parts, because it's just going to be the same. And long hair, clearly, No. I don't think I would look good with long hair, and I think I am not up for the maintenance of dealing with long hair. I like this length. I like having it long enough that I can do something with it, but then it's not ever too crazy. I know that's all very exciting. That's what you came here to listen to. But I will be talking about games very quickly, shortly, soon, including House Flipper 2, Broken Roads, Goons, Legends and Mayhem, that's Legends and Mayhem, Outer Terror, Bunhouse, and One Last Breath. That was my one last breath, so let's see if I can do the rest of this podcast without making any more breaths. Without breathing anymore, will I be able to do it? No, I won't. Nothing really news-wise caught my eye that I can remember, but I kind of want to maybe think about paying attention to news and bookmarking things between episodes that I do maybe kind of potentially have something to talk about or have an opinion I'd like to put out there. We'll see. We'll see if I actually do that, because I think that could be beneficial to, I don't know. That is an idea. The only news I saw that I don't understand why it's news is the analysts saying they believe Final Fantasy VII Rebirth underperformed. And I guess it sold half as many copies as Remake did in the same time period. I don't understand why this is news, because one, Remake was on PS4, so the install base there, in addition to the PS5, it coming out right around the heart of, for the beginnings of COVID, so people are looking for things to do, and it being the first in a series, a sub-series, really. So there could be people who play that first game, didn't want to continue with Rebirth, or people who are waiting for the whole thing to come out, or people who play that and don't have a PS5, for instance, because as many PS4s as there are out there, there aren't as many people. It just, to me, it's not so black and white. Oh, well, clearly everything is exactly the same, so therefore the sales and all of that should be exactly the same. It's not anywhere near that. So I don't see how it's underperforming on that front. You could say it's underperforming because they just expected it to do better, but not in comparison to Remake. I wouldn't say it's underperforming. I would say it's performing about what you'd expect. The thing is, you also look at it and just say, well, maybe these games don't have the biggest audience. Because even looking at it just as the PS5, as a PS5 game, what are there 50 million of those out there now? And Rebirth has sold a million copies or something. So that's a very small percentage of PlayStation owners. And that's not a whole hell of a lot. Not entirely surprising because it's a massive game. Again, the second in a sub-series. So it's a big investment, a big time investment, big time sink. It's a kind of game that's not going to appeal to everyone or even maybe the majority, being very anime-ish and all that story-wise, specifically not gameplay-wise. But the whole thing about it underperforming is... If Square comes out and says, we're disappointed in the sales, then I'll say, yeah, it's underperforming. But until Square says, and Square loves to say, hey, this game sold 5 million copies. What a fucking pathetic piece of garbage. I'm not sure of those exact numbers, but we all know with Tomb Raider and whatnot, things underperform. They have high expectations, but it's probably also because their big games seem to... They at least look like they cost a lot. And given how much we know certain games cost, it would follow that they cost a lot. But they probably require a fair amount of sales to make a decent profit. You know what would help? Maybe not. Or maybe put it on Xbox, but then nobody buys shit on Xbox. But maybe Microsoft would be willing to pay a lot to put Final Fantasy VII Remake on Game Pass. But then wasn't there a report about them slowing down on the Game Pass deals, or was that only in the indie space? Even if they're slowing down on all fronts, I feel like Final Fantasy VII Remake is one of those games that they'd be happy to give an exception to. You know, we're gonna slow down on the Game Pass things, but... And I... To say they're slowing down when you just had Persona 3 Reload? Is that what the sub is? So I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I mean, we already know that all the time. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm also trying something a little different now to give the audio a bit of a cleaner sound. Because usually the background music that I accidentally put into the first episode of this relaunch however many years ago, and then everyone was like, hey, we kind of like it. So I just left it in there. The Unatco theme from Deus Ex. Fantastic game. Fantastic song. I still get bummed thinking about the whole Activision deal, because even though we can't say anything about what could have been, I just think about all the potential studios Microsoft could have acquired instead and then still had so much money left over to pay them and not fire people, that instead went to Embracer and now have either been sold off or just destroyed, like Volition. We have Eidos. Well, I don't know. They're not still called the Eidos Montreal. But the Deus Ex team, they're making something, I guess, but it's not a Deus Ex game anymore. Who else? Who? All, oh, the Time Slitters Free Radical. They went under. But I think there was somebody else. I can't remember. That was big-ish. It's just... Activision, I don't get excited about Activision at all. I understand it. It's just, and the whole process was so, oh God, I hate this industry. Is so annoying right now. But I'm playing around with recording just my audio and then cleaning it up after, and then having the background music added in post. But I'm not sure I'm going to get the levels exactly right. I think I got them right. That'll be for y'all to let me know in the comments or whatnot. But enough about all that. Let us get on to what I've been playing, starting with House Flipper 2. So, House Flipper, the first game, became kind of a big deal. Maybe because of streamers, I'm not exactly sure, because I remember playing it when it originally came out, thinking, this is janky and clunky, but kind of relaxing. Whatever, I'm going to move on. This is something I could see myself playing if I was in a place where I needed a relaxing game like this, and I had time, and blah, 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 and I wasn't always trying to make content about this, that, and stay somewhat up to date. And I have my chill relaxed game, quote unquote relaxed game, in Gems of War. Fucking end it. I don't want any more achievements, for fuck's sake. Just let me. I cannot begin to explain how free I would become if Gems of War would just fucking end. I can't, though. That's the one game I was able to get away from Apex, but Gems of War, I can't do it, because I've invested so much on all fronts. Time. I've put money into it just because I've put so much time into it. And I do think the game overall is good. I'm not as hot on the support all the time. But they have done a lot of stuff and updated it quite a bit. But I think a free-to-play game is worth giving money to when you've gotten a lot out of it. But at this point, I think some of the ways they've handled updates and stuff of that nature, not great. And I'm just so fucking sick of it. But I am one of the few, and by few, I'm not saying a handful, but percentage-wise, I'm a percentage of a percentage who has all the achievements, or mirror that on PlayStation, who would have all the trophies. And I want that to always be the case. And if I go away now and wait for them to give another update where there are new achievements, I could have missed out on things that I could have obtained retroactively or in the meantime that would make acquiring those new achievements much easier, which happened to me once before. So it's good to just keep on going with it until they say at one point, but I don't know why they would ever say that, because that would, at least for me, and I'm assuming some amount of people, would say, okay, well then I'm done. But that has nothing to do with House Flipper 2. House Flipper, though, it's a game where at its core, what you're doing is going into houses and cleaning them up. So you're picking up trash, you're wiping surfaces, cleaning the floor, mopping, sweeping, cleaning windows, picking up things that have fallen over, selling things that the buyer doesn't want anymore, etc. And it may sound, and if it does sound tedious to you, then it's 100% not a game for you. But if it sounds relaxing, if you like that monotonous action, if you like these very simple tasks that let you do them while consuming enough content, this is a great podcast game, for instance, or music, whatever. Listen to an audiobook. I don't like saying reading when talking about audiobooks. So just say listening. Why do people say, oh, I read this book? How'd you read it? I listened to the audiobook. I read the audiobook. You listen to it, okay? No, it's just semantics, but just say listen, okay? Not a big deal. I'm not going to look at listen. Just You didn't read shit, all right? House Flipper 2 takes what House Flipper 1 did, what I remember of House Flipper 1, and polishes it up a bit. There's still room for more polish. It could look nicer. Makes it feel a bit better. I think it feels overall pretty good, but it definitely is a keyboard and mouse game. The precision you would have with a mouse would be so much nicer with a lot of these tasks, especially when you are picking up objects and placing them. That can be the most frustrating I found with a gamepad. But even stuff like cleaning windows with your little squeegee or whatever those things are called, using a mouse, I could see that feeling a lot better, because the cursor movement on a gamepad is not super smooth. And maybe that would be improved with higher frame rate. I have no idea what frame rate this is at, but this is the kind of game where I would say, ooh, I wonder what this would be like on consoles at 120 FPS. But that's basically what you're doing. You're going to these houses, you're cleaning them up, and the amount, the percentage that you clean them up will grant you certain amounts of stars, up to 3 stars, and you can finish the job at 1 star, but if you want to make the most bang for your buck, you'll keep cleaning until you reach 3 stars. And you're doing that a whole bunch. That's basically what you're doing. The thing that I guess House Flipper 2 adds is a sandbox mode, which allows you to either create your own building from scratch, or you design the entire building, and then you can mess with it, dirty it up and all that as well, and then put that on the mod space for people to download and play themselves. And then you can also go into that space and download others' creations and play around there. And I think that is where a lot of people will find enjoyment in the game, whether it be through the creation or the playing of others' creations. I don't think you're going to want to play around with both, because especially the creation stuff, that's going to be very time consuming. There's a lot in there. It's very intricate and has a lot of stuff there for you to play around with. And that is definitely another aspect of where this feels very much so like a mouse and keyboard game, because while you can do all this stuff with a gamepad, creating with a gamepad is incredibly tedious, and I don't want to say frustrating. It's just, it's irritating. It's not as streamlined or as, it just doesn't feel, you don't feel like you are able to work at 100%. It's like being injured, and I can give this 70%, but if you're on mouse and keyboard, you can give it 100%. You give it the full 100%. So yeah, House Flipper 2, if the idea of cleaning up a house so that you can, you're not selling, you're cleaning up for the seller, but they're paying you for your work, you're doing that. So if that sounds like a good time, picking up garbage, wiping shit, mopping, etc., then yeah, maybe check it out, especially if you're on PC. I can't remember exactly how it controls the first one, but when doing the cleaning, it's pretty intuitive on gamepad. I believe holding the left trigger brings up your little radial where you can pick the tool you want to use, and in the UI it'll tell you, okay, the room, the space you're in, it has this many pieces of trash left to pick up, this much dirt to wipe up, this much, so on and so forth. So knowing what you have to do in designated areas is very easy to figure out, and you have a little House Flipper sense, or whatever they call it, I believe on the left bumper on Xbox, that allows you to see where things are that still need to be done in a space. If you can't quite see stuff, because there will be instances too where maybe there are some animal paw prints on the ground, and there are two left that you have to clean up. But you wiped up most of them, but there's a little bit left, and you can't quite see them because there's so little left. But when you use that sense, it'll show you, okay, here's where you have to clean up. So that's nice as well. Yeah, that's House Clipper 2. Next is Broken Roads, which is a CRPG. And I don't really know exactly what that means. I know it means computer role-playing game. That is, to my knowledge, stuff like the Disco Elysium and I want to say Divinity Original Sin and Baldur's Gate-ish. I think of games where there's a heavy emphasis on story, narrative, characters, building your character, stat-wise and all that, but also their personality and making decisions and getting immersed in the world. It's much more story-driven than combat-based. And I don't really know. So that's that. But this is very narrative centric. It takes place in Australia. I believe it's a post-apocalyptic type of thing. And I played a bit of it. One, unbelievable initial load time. It took so long to load up to the main menu that the first time it was taking forever, and maybe it did lock up, because I'm not sure if the second time I had let more time than the first time pass, but I quit the game completely and relaunched it because I thought it just froze on me. But it took a ridiculous amount of time to launch that first time. Then when I finally got it going and picked my character and did all that, it seems a little bit janky performance wise, but more so than that, I put a few hours into it and I just could not get invested in this world. I didn't really care for any of the characters. The combat felt very, very meh in the one combat scenario I had. The biggest issue, you're also doing a lot of fetch quest type things of just going back and forth. Nothing too exciting there. And one of the coolest things about the game is this morality system where you have, like a Simon Says circle that's broken up into four sections. And you have, I believe, humanist, nihilist, Machiavellian, and utilitarian. And I think the idea of it instead of it being black and white, good and bad, so on and so forth, to have it be more open to gray areas and open to you trying different things, and based on the decisions you make and how you shape your character, you'll be able to make more extreme decisions in certain things, or you'll have a broader area for decisions. I think that's very interesting, but from what I've played so far, it rarely seemed to come into play. And my one kind of, what is it called, like a dice check type thing, was if I could throw a football to these kids that were like 3 feet away from me, and I failed. And I thought, that fucking great. I forget what they called me. They called me like noodle arms. That was fun. But my biggest issue with the game is in the writing and the way it's handled and delivered, because as someone with reading comprehension issues, any kind of obstacle you put in my way, whether you think it's an obstacle or not, it's going to be a problem for me. And the problem I am referring to, and I don't know if maybe other games do this as well, but maybe they do it a little bit differently. The thing that it does that I found a little frustrating is when interacting with other characters and going through dialogue, they'll also include character actions. So you might be talking to someone and they say, hey, and that is in white text. And then in just slightly gray text, so it's not white, but it's not that far off, you'll have character actions. Hey, in white, and then in gray, this very, very light gray. So-and-so wipes their brow, clears their throat, and slaps her hands together. Then white text, more dialogue. And I found that to be very frustrating to read and very annoying to read. I understand why it's done. It is so much cheaper to do that than to record even a simple sound clip of somebody clearing their throat and then creating a little animation that shows the character doing these things. But for me, when engaging with a visual medium, I always get frustrated whenever visual means of storytelling are removed, visual and audio and all that, for text. Every time that happens, the more it happens in something, I think, why is this a game? What am I getting out of this? Besides the ability to make choices, but you can make a choose your own adventure book. That is something I probably wouldn't have had a problem with as much if I was invested in the story and the characters and all of that. But I don't think it does a great job with its opening of getting me into this world immediately. I remember playing Divinity Original Sin 2 and being on that ship and that being such, or doing such a great job of immediately putting me in that world, putting me into a scenario that was super interesting. I was trying to figure out how to get out of it, and it went in such an organic way. And when it the way that whole section played out in Divinity Original Sin 2 was not at all how I expected. I never would have guessed what happened would have happened, but the fact that it did, and it all worked out, quote unquote worked out, in that I got through it with my friend who I was playing co-op with, was amazing to me. And there's nothing like that here. Just like, oh, okay, I've interacted with some characters, a lot of them just I don't want to interact with ever again because I don't think you're interesting, or I think what you said is stupid, or what it didn't grab me. It didn't get its hooks in me. And if you can't do that within the first few hours, it's hard for me to say I want to give you more of my time. Especially when there's just so many games out there. But that is, again, Broken Roads. Next is Goons, Legends, and Mayhem, which is a cool idea, a unique idea, trying to mesh a 3D platformer essentially with a hockey theme. And by doing that, there is no platforming because you're skating everywhere. And you can summon pucks at any given time and shoot them at enemies. It automatically locks onto them. And there's a lot of cool stuff going into the game from a theming standpoint. But in actual execution, it's not that fun. Skating around these linear levels that have to be linear-ish, they're branching paths that you can go off and explore, but if you get to a dead end, you just turn around. So they're not super open, and they're all flat because since you can't jump, I mean, there might be a little hilltop you can see, and then you can see in the horizon or whatever, but you can't jump, so you're limited to what you can do. The levels are pretty boring to go through. the action isn't fun because it is so mindless, given that you lock on enemies and there's no challenge there. And then the handful of boss fights I've partaken in weren't challenging. That's another thing about Broken Roads, no difficulty setting, so that could or could not be a problem. But Goons, Legends of Mayhem, I was excited to play it. I really liked the idea, but it just didn't come together. And I'm curious. I think about it and wonder, how do you make this work? Do you have to tone down the theming and make it more of a visual thing and maybe just incorporate certain things but treat it more like a traditional 3D platformer? Because I do like that they went hard on the hockey thing, that you are skating around, and these areas are based around that. When you're in these boss fights, you're in a hockey space. There's also some actual hockey in it, where you're playing half court and utilizing rules like basketball half court, where you have to go to the offside line if you steal the puck and then get the possession to you so that you can shoot and try to score the goals. I found those sections very awful, because actually playing the game like a hockey game, not fun at all. So when I'm forced to do that to progress, not happy. And sometimes you are forced to win a hockey game, and that's not fun. But you have your hockey actions, and then you have a handful of characters with special, unique abilities. But it just didn't quite come together. Outer Terror is a survivor-like, but it's 3D. So you're down, up close, still with pixel art, but all up in their business. And I played one level of this that just went on and on and on, and could have gone on forever until I let this big thing kill me. It was incredibly easy, at least in that first area. It's very, very ugly, because it looks like low quality pixel art that would look fine from afar, but they just zoomed in. And that sucks. That makes it hard to want to play the game because of that. It's not like playing, it would, if it looked like Octopath Traveler or other similar games, then it would have my attention, but it looks nothing like those. But you're just going around doing the usual thing. You're not controlling your actions, you're just controlling the movement. You'll interact with characters, do missions, go collect this, go deal with this thing, so on and so forth. The way you find power-ups and items that you can use during levels is by interacting with corpses that are scattered around the environment. But there's just no challenge to it. And the weapons you can get are all pretty standard stuff. There's nothing exciting about it. I like the idea of making a 3D one. And I think there's room for some really cool visual things that you could do in that space, in that perspective. But you don't get any of that here. And there's also a side mission I had that wanted me to collect all these things, but one of them was hidden under a pile of corpses or flesh or whatever, and nothing I did could destroy that thing. And sometimes when I was far enough away and at a certain angle, that blob would disappear and I could see it hiding under there, what I had to pick up. But when I get close again, it would reappear, and it was just like, fucking fuck you, game. So that was annoying. That's Outer Terror. Next up is Bun House, which is a game where you play as a bunny. You got a greenhouse, making plants. Yeah, you're planting seeds, helping them grow, watching how much water they need, how much sunlight they need. Eventually, you can get to go fishing and do other stuff like that. And it may sound cute and pleasant and all that, and maybe from a gameplay standpoint it is. The planning stuff is way more in depth than in other games like an Animal Crossing or Stardew Valley. But what Funhouse is lacking is charm. It's a pretty ugly game and doesn't have much style. So you have these bunnies, you play as bunnies, and you can design your little bunny at the start, but they don't look particularly good. It's a little bit bland. There is color. There's a decent amount of color there, but at the same time, it has a blandness to it. And that does take quite a bit away from it. It's also a bit clunky to control and navigate the space and interact with things. But I think the biggest part for me is just how not cute it is. You think, okay, you're playing as a little cute bunny, and you're going around planting flowers, you're picking them up, and you're selling them as your little front stall in front of your greenhouse, and expanding as you're going on. Adorable, right? And yet, when I was playing it, I just thought, I don't want to go back to that Garden Life game I was playing last week or whatever it was. And then the last game was One Last Breath, which is a side-scrolling platformer, puzzle platformer, very much in the vein of games like Inside and so on and so forth, that I played for 3 levels. It's very, very minimal on explaining itself in terms of, you need to press this button to do it. It doesn't really explain the controls at all, so you just have to figure it out. The narrative is very cryptic and is all about the mystery. This is some post-apocalyptic world. Very little color in it. And I just... The platformer was fine, but it wasn't super good. The feel wasn't great. What puzzles I've messed around with that I've had to deal with weren't super mind-bending. And what little narrative hooks they have in there haven't grabbed me. So I played probably maybe 45 minutes of it, and that was more than enough for me to say, it's fine, but what makes you special? And in those 45 minutes, there was nothing that, I don't care. I'm not interested in the story and seeing where that develops. The gameplay didn't grab me. The visuals didn't grab me. Nothing grabbed me. So I took my one last breath and I moved on. That is it for this here episode of the Pixelated Sausage Show. Once again, I am Mark Krishnes. Y'all can find me pretty much everywhere at PX Sausage. If you enjoy this here show or any of the stuff I do and what have you, you can support me and my nonsense over at patreon.com/PXS. That is patreon.com/PXS, where you get early access to Attack the Backlog, releasing in audio form on Friday and then on Sunday for all in video form and audio form, as well as a monthly Q&A and random drops on the Patreon, in addition to also some Discord perks as well. So if any of that stuff sounds interesting to you, enticing to you, give it a check. In addition to the Patreon, though, you can find links to the site, the YouTube, the Discord, so on and so forth, all over at pxsausage.com. But that is it. That is all. As always, thank you for watching or listening. I hope you enjoy this here episode, and I hope you have both a wonderful rest of your day, a lovely rest of your week, and a wonderful weekend. But for now, adios, arrivederci, bye! Oh, man.
It's go time. Go, Daddy.